Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast to Coast. George Norrie back with you along with Marty Rosenblatt. Marty has a MS degree in physics from UCLA, worked for 35 years in areas of high energy physics using computational techniques. He's been a president of the Applied Precognition Project dedicated to education and development of precog pros. Now, these are the natural follow-up to physics intuition applications, which he founded back in 1998 to apply remote viewing to predicting financial markets and sporting event outcomes. Marty, did anybody predict COVID-19?
Not that I know of. There are some people now, after the fact, who are saying that they had some remote viewing sessions that predicted it, but I don't think that's quite fair.
No, that's true. How have you been? Everything okay?
Yeah, everything is great. We're hanging in there, you know, under the circumstances, so I'm doing fine. Hope you are as well.
Yeah, I am. Still in the lockdown West Coast?
Yes, afraid so.
Yeah, it's crazy times, isn't it?
It really is. It really is.
This is when we need our precognition and intuition and telepathy more than ever, isn't it?
Well, you know, we have more time for it, at least.
Yeah.
The using precognition, for example, to figure out when this is going to be over would be rather interesting to do. The problem with all of this, George, is it's not 100%. It's hard for people to sort of get that. You can easily become convinced that precognition is real, you know, using normal scientific mm-hmm. techniques, double, triple blind. And it is. It's much, you get results like on sports events, financials, which are better than chance, but they're just not 100%. So if you were to say, hey, a year from now, this is all going to be over and pretty much like it was, a year ago, that kind of prediction you just would not have great confidence in.
Well, that's true. That's a good point. And even when we have these feelings of precognition, sometimes you're just not sure if it's real or not.
That's correct. And sometimes, though, those are the times when it turns out to be most real, because you can fool yourself. It's the mind is the most wonderful instrument in the universe, in my opinion, but it's very complex, and it doesn't follow direct rules the way, F equal MA does, Newton's laws. It's got probability built into it in a way which we still don't understand. You mentioned the science of precognition. The science of precognition has proved that there's something going on there that still most people just won't believe because it has this probabilistic nature. And yet we know for sure, using all the scientific techniques of double-blind, triple-blind experiments, that you indeed can predict events with a much higher probability than chance. But while there have been some experiments, like I think you're aware of Russ Targ's experiments.
Yes, absolutely.
Nine predictions in a row, but then he did another set, and it indeed did not work. He had like six failures in a row. And that is what we're still struggling with.
Tell us a little bit more about your Applied Precognition Project, which you've been running for a number of years now.
Yes, that is, not only educational, but it's educational by giving people hands-on ability to work with their precognition, with their consciousness. They, members, and we have over 1,000 members, 1,200 members now.
Wow.
Not all of which do active precognition, but they all, stay involved and hear our discussions, and we have lots of different speakers and we have our conferences twice a year and things like that, but probably a couple of hundred of them are involved in groups that do precognition on sporting events and financials. And these are real precog predictions. They make their prediction. They will know that Team A is the one who's predicted or that the financial market is going to go up. We use the SPY, which is the Standard & Poor's 500. And we use stops and limits. I mean, these people can actually make trades, though I only recommend that if they've demonstrated that their precognition is indeed up at, say, the 60% or more level, compared to a 50-50 chance of up or down. But the point is, and many of them do it not to invest. They do it to learn about their own consciousness.
That's right.
Imagine getting quiet and you generate a transcript which is intended to describe one of two possible photographs. We call them photosites because, you know, a photograph has a lot of content in it. You can look at it, and not only do you get the colors, but you might see that there's sounds involved and other things. But there are two possibilities, one for the market going up, one for the market going down. And it's amazing how often you get, like, right-on hits. There's no question that it's a good match to one or the other. And this brings a new kind of appreciation of the ability that individual personal consciousness has, because normally you wouldn't think that's possible. They don't see the picture until after, so they make their prediction on day one, but they will not know the outcome or see the picture until, you know, day five or day two, depending how far in the future we're looking.
Do you think, Marty, that most people who practice precognition and intuition are successful people, whatever that means?
That is very interesting. I think when you're open to doing this, and I don't want to say believer, I want to say knower. When you know that there's more going on in your own personal being, I believe you do become more successful, more confident. You know, those are the kind of words, because you realize that you're really kind of a much grander being than we're often taught.
Let's talk about consciousness. Give me your thoughts on consciousness, and then let's get into some of the just the people from the past, the Max Plancks and the Erwin Schrodingers, who talked a little bit about this as well. But what do you think consciousness is, Mark?
Well, I was going to start with exactly those two.
Aha, okay.
They both basically said, and this is the major theme of all the work that I do, that consciousness is fundamental. They were forced to conclude this based on what they called, and it's still called, the measurement issue. If in quantum mechanics, again, it's interesting that probabilities is the most fundamental aspect, one of the most fundamental aspects of quantum mechanics. And for example, you can't really know exactly where, say, an electron is until you measure it. It has a probability of being in a certain place. Particles that have spin, they talk about spin up and spin down. It's a probability. But until you actually pin it down and measure it, then it becomes real. That's the measurement problem. And they were forced to say it's only when this measurement, which is bringing something into consciousness and making it real, that it is real in our physical world. Before that, it's in this probabilistic land of quantum mechanics, if you will. And
well, how do you measure what you can't see?
Well, no, but they have measuring devices which can measure, for example, with a certain uncertainty, the location of a electron. They can measure the spin of an electron with these very sensitive devices. It was these measurement devices that ultimately, it took a long time, you know, we're talking over 55, whatever, years ago, and this was all very controversial. It was ultimately the measurements and then some very clever theory that finally got quantum mechanics where it's no longer doubted at all. But with these measurements, you can measure whether a particle is spinning up or down. And I think you, I know, and probably most of your listeners have heard that information from light waves. A photon can be disturbed here, and yet it'll have an impact on its pair. Okay, so these are two what are called entangled photons. So they come from a same source, and you tweak one, so you measured it. Another one could be hundreds of light years away, and yet it will feel that impact. That was one of the most controversial aspects of quantum mechanics, and Einstein actually never believed it up until his death. But indeed has now, again, with sophisticated experiments, been shown to be true. This is called non-locality. Usually, you know, when I turn on my flashlight, light goes out at the speed of light, but you can't get any information about that any faster than the speed of light. Well, that turns out not to be true. That locality argument is just false. In the quantum mechanical world, you have non-local effects, which basically are instant.
Mm-hmm.
And precognition is an example of that. You're getting information from the future. That's a non-local effect.
When this incredible universe was formed, Marty, did all these things come with it, the consciousness, the ability for intuition and telepathy? I mean, how did that come about?
Okay. I'm glad you asked.
Thanks. I make it easy for you, right?
Let me give you, and I'm going to make it as simple as I can, because actually the ideas are simple, but sometimes hard to kind of get deep down. And here is how it goes. The physical universe is not the most fundamental thing. We live in it. It certainly is real. It's got an objective nature. I wake up in the morning and, you know, I'm in the same bed I was when I went to bed and those sorts of things. However, this idea of consciousness being fundamental is deeper than the physical world. There is a, dare I say, spiritual world. The non-physical world, the spiritual world, is deeper, more fundamental, and I don't even want to say came first, because it is a thing. I call it, actually, and I have a bunch of this stuff on the web, I call it the universe of collective consciousness.
Interesting.
Anything that consciousness touches, your thoughts, your feelings, everybody's feelings on Earth, past, present, and future. ETs, wherever they are, they're conscious beings. All of that is in this non-physical place, thing outside of space and time. That's why precognition, telepathy, all of that kinds of things work. So when the physical world was formed, and we think of it because with the physical world came the reality, the idea of space and time, but it came from a non-physical place. And I have this idea, not this idea, I think it's true, because there's nothing else that could be the intermediary between the non-physical world and the physical world, but the zero-point energy field, the vacuum energy, which no one now disagrees with. When you get real small, anywhere, any place, any time, you get down to the quantum level, in fact, the Planck level, 10 to the minus 32 meters or something like that, ridiculously small,
right,
as small as you can get. That level is where we have a baseline of energy. It's called the zero-point energy field. And that is the intermediary between the non-physical and the physical. Many physicists would still tell you that the zero-point energy field comes from nowhere. You know, what does that mean, nowhere? Well, that nowhere is this non-physical place where, if you will, the fundamental action causing stuff in the physical world to happen. So when you do precognition and you get quiet and you're intending to get information about a photo that you're going to see on your screen tomorrow, you're dipping down into this universe of collective consciousness, gathering information, comes through your nervous system, and then into your conscious mind.
There's a science behind this, isn't there?
Well, we have to kind of be careful. Usually when we say science, you have reproducibility. How do you reproduce this universe of collective consciousness idea? The science is, I guess I'm going to say yes, but I have to qualify that by saying the science is that precognition is real. I've given you an explanation for that, a kind of a model. Okay, like there are different kinds of models for quantum mechanics, different interpretations. This is an interpretation of consciousness. The science behind it is that in the physical world, precognition is real, telepathy is real, psychokinesis is real. I believe it explains things like ghosts, the experience of a ghost is dipping down into this universe of collective consciousness, which contains everything that humans experienced, and when they physically die, it's still down in the UCC, in this universe of collective consciousness. So I think the science in this case is the measurement of these effects. Now, the ghosts, you know, there have been measurements of them, but it's not like it gets done again all the time.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern, and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.